Imagine knowing that your scanner radio has a full signal bar, but you can't hear anything. You're listening to a P25 trunk system, but you can't hear any talk groups. You can see your scanner is trying to go to a voice channel. It's trying to work, but you don't hear anything. Or you hear something that's garbled. Or the scanner goes to the voice channel and goes right back to the control channel, and all you see is the scanner ping-ponging. How frustrating does this sound? Do you just want to yell at your scanner and go, what's the problem? It's Simulcast, and let's figure this one out. Oh yeah, Simulcast. Another problem in the world of the scanner radio user. Now, in this episode of Scanner Radio University, where we're teaching you the ins and outs of the scanner radio hobby, we're going to talk about what the deal is here with Simulcast and how you can overcome it, both cheaply and, well, maybe by buying a new radio, which isn't so cheap. But hey, new radios are always fun, and this could be the excuse you need to buy yourself something nice. So let's talk about Simulcast here. So as we've talked in the past, trunk radio systems are like onions. There's multiple different layers here. First, we have the system as a whole. This is our trunk radio system. And then underneath these systems, we have sites. And the sites are what we listen to. The site has the control channel and it has all the voice frequencies. And now, this is also where our talk groups are going to be broadcasted from on this particular site. And this is where things can kind of get a bit in the confusing gray area. You see, a site can be one transmitter, or it can be many or multiple transmitters that are working in unison as one bigger site. And you see, that's the key here when it comes to Simulcast. It's multiple transmitters or multiple transmitter locations that are keying up in unison that are causing our headaches with Simulcast. You see, these sites, these physical transmitter locations, are all keying up with the same information at the exact same time. They all key up with the same control channel, the same talk groups, and have the same voice frequencies in use. They are all keyed up in unison, like a choir. And in a previous SRU, a previous scanner radio university, when we talked about trunk systems, we said that they were kind of like a orchestra, right? Well, a simulcast network is like a choir. It's a bunch of different people, a bunch of different users. It's a bunch of different sites all singing at the same time. And when we hear the choir sing, we hear one beautiful network of sites. This is why when we look at radio reference in the database, we can see a single site defined as simulcast and not every individual transmitter location as individual sites. This is because all of these sites or all of these locations working together as a choir equate to one single transmitter site. So when it comes to simulcast, a site is not one physical location. A site can be that one physical location if there's one transmitter location in that site, but it can also be a bunch of different transmitter locations that are linked and tied together, all transmitting at the same time, as one larger site. Simulcast is nothing new. Simulcast has been around for decades and decades. We have simulcast sites or transmitters in the analog world, in conventional. We have simulcast on analog trunk systems. These are not a problem because we're the end user that's listening to the analog signal. In the analog world, we have an analog signal that's being received by our scanner radio over the air, and it passes that signal through to our speaker. And if all of these transmitter locations that are being received by our scanner, just a fraction of a second or two out of phase, or are time delayed, we don't really notice it at all or too badly in an analog world. we can still hear what that transmission is because it's analog. We can hear it. Think again in an analog conventional world where if the signal gets weak, we can still hear it through the static. But in a digital world, there's a certain point where if that signal gets too weak, it falls off a cliff and it can't be decoded. Because the analog signal that might be coming in a simulcast system is analog, it may just sound slightly not perfect, but we can still hear it. And the scanner doesn't care because it's analog and it pushes it right out the speaker. Here's another way of thinking about it that maybe puts it into a visual, right? Remember the old days of analog TV? And I'm sure there were plenty of times where you're watching the news or a football game, and all of a sudden you get this ghosted image, right? You not only see the reporter sitting at the desk, but you kind of have a ghosted image of him, slightly off-centered, right? Behind him, off to the side. That was something that I remember watching when we had over-the-air TV that was analog. That ghosting image, right? That's from propagation delay. And that's a visual of what's happening here in our scanner radio. We are receiving other signals, the same frequency, right? The same conversation, the same bits, the same data signal. It's coming into our scanner slightly off of sync. In an analog world, it was okay. The superimposed image just showed up on our TV as a secondary signal. But in a digital world, this causes everything to stop. It causes everything to halt. It becomes a problem. Why is that? Before we get there, I just want to thank my Patreon supporters. And my Patreon supporters are what allowed me to continue to bring this podcast to you when I was taking my time off to deal with my cancer recovery. And it's because of the backing of my Patreon supporters that I was able to restart the podcast, but not only in an audio format that you guys are used to by downloading it on your favorite iPod player application, I don't know, like Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or Spotify, whatever it might be, but also allow us to take this podcast over to YouTube. And there's many different benefits, too, about being a Patreon supporter. And depending on what tier you are, you may get the podcast early. We have another tier, too, our extra credit tier, where we all come together at least once a month to talk radio, to talk scanning, and just to check in and see what's going on a Zoom meeting. If you'd like to help support us over on Patreon, you can go to scannerschool.com/Patreon. And again, to my Patreon supporters, thank you. Alan Gonzalez, Arthur Heron, Brian Arsenault, Brian King, Kathy T, Chris Paris, Cody, Craig Harper, Dan, Danielle Caviola, Dave Pasco, David, David C, David Kuzneski, David Watts, Danny Karate, Doug, Mr. Freeze, Eddie, K2EPM, Greg Johnson, I Hate Junk Mail, Jack Haycock, Jacques Berry, James Felling, Jeff Block, Jeff Chapman, Jim B, Jim Heinrich, Jim Kell, John Keel, John Sweeney, John Goldenberg, Joshua Robb, Ken Newberry, Kenneth Fowler, Kevin Zwicky, Lenny Bauer, Les Stevenson, Lloyd R, Mark B, Mason Kramer, Matt, NU8H, Matt Payne, Michael Kroger, Michael Meadows, Mike Piltz, Nicholas Hansen, Nicholas Stenger, Paul Bowling, Paul Teal, Pierre, Randy Young, Raymond Brozois, Raymond Hill, Rich Palmieri, Ronnie Bach, Scott Lefgren, Starcom 21, Tony Cleveland, Tyler Dittmars, and William Arcand. And if you're not yet subscribed to our podcast, whether it be on an audio player or on YouTube, please take 1 second to hit that subscribe button. I greatly appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, so let's talk about why this is a problem with digital trunked radio systems. Let's just talk binary here, right? It's the simplest form of digital communication. Zeros and ones. These zeros and ones, they have to come in a very particular order in order to be put back together. And in a clean environment, our scanner receives these zeros and ones in timing, and it can interpret these zeros and ones, put these packets back together again, using the D to A converter, right? It could take this digital signal, convert it over to an analog signal so it can come out to speaker so that we can listen to it. Simple, right? So what happens when we have a propagation delay? What happens when we have a time delay? What happens when we're receiving multiple different transmitter locations that's transmitting the same signal? We're going to receive them slightly out of sync. Well, when that happens, the zeros and ones aren't going to be aligned. They're not going to come in when they should be coming in. And then because you have too many zeros and ones or because you have errors, now all of a sudden that signal can't be decoded. And if those signals can't be put back together again, then Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall and we're having scrambled eggs for breakfast, right? So here's the deal. Our scanners are picking up the control channel in the Cyber Chaos world. It's doing its thing. But when we go over to the voice channel, that's kind of when we're going to have a problem. We're going to hear garbled audio. We're going to hear nothing at all. The scanner is going to ping pong back and forth between a voice channel that it's trying to decode and the control channel, because the control channel is saying, hey, the voice, the talk we want to hear is over here. So it all depends on this timing delay and how many signals we have coming in. And that is because of the amount of signal, right? Or the number of transmitters our scanner is receiving at one particular time. And again, the more that we bring into the scanner that can't handle simulcasts, the worse we make things. And now we need to reprogram our brains and say the hobby has changed. Well, we used to know how to fix this problem. The solution from yesterday was we needed a better antenna. We needed more height. We needed to bring in more signal. That is the complete opposite of what we want to do when we have a simulcast P25 system that we're trying to monitor with older radios. If we bring in too much, we are going to make things worse. We need to limit ourselves to one site. And how do we do that? We have to fix the glitch. We need to understand that if we're going to bring in too much or too much signal or too many sites, we're going to confuse our radio. So the easiest thing to do is to remove our external antenna if we're using one. That might be sufficient enough. But if we're already using the set-top antenna, the antenna that came with the radio and nothing external, we still have a problem, well, then we need to take it to another level. We need to maybe turn on the attenuator in our scanner radio. Maybe we need to add a hardware attenuator to that scanner radio so that we can pad down the signal so that we're only picking up one site. If that's not possible or that doesn't work, maybe we need to move that radio around, put it someplace else in our desk, put it someplace else in our house, move it away from a window. And again, that may not be ideal because now all of a sudden, maybe the radio's in the bathroom, not at your desk. I don't know. You know, it may not work for you. But these are all tricks that we can do to isolate the signal to what we needed so that the scanner can hear one set of zeros and ones and doesn't get confused. There's scenarios where this just isn't going to work. If we're constantly driving with our scanners, maybe it's in our car, and we're coming in and out of areas where we're hearing multiple sites and then we're not hearing multiple sites, there's ways, again, that we can set up our radios to kind of help ourselves out here. Again, the attenuator or not using an outdoor antenna may be a trick. But if you really want to work with simulcast, this is why we have radios now like the SDS-100, the SDS-200, and even the brand new SDS-150. And these scanner radios don't pick up signals and process them the same way as, we'll say, legacy scanners or scanners that came out prior to the SDS line. And the SDS is built on software-defined radios, which is where we get the SDS, right? Software-defined scanner. And it's because that the scanners process data differently, they can work with simulcast networks. So yes, we have to spend a bit of money to own these radios. They are not cheap by today's standards. But if this is what the requirement is in order for us to enjoy the scanner radio hobby, then we either need to figure out ways to do this within budget, or we need to figure out ways to budget for these radios. Now, I also have another solution for you that is a fraction of the price. A software-defined radio can be bought on eBay for about $40. And using free software, you can monitor these P25 simulcast trunk systems. Now, yeah, you do need a computer. So there's that expense in there. Whether it be Windows, Mac, Linux, or Raspberry Pi, you still have to have that computer. And again, these are not a portable solution. It's not really going to be great for a mobile solution. But if you have a computer that you have already on hand that's running, then a $40 SDR and an afternoon and some software can get you up and running. And if you need help with this, I have a free course that'll help you get started with a software-defined radio. That's over at courses.scannerschool.com. In fact, I'll put a link to that in the description of this podcast, and I'll also put some affiliate links too for the SDS-100, SDS-200, and the SDS-150. And if you use those links to make a purchase, that will certainly help out this podcast. Now, my free course, again, will get you up and running with a software-defined radio in an afternoon. So if this is something that is of interest to you or something you've been thinking about, now is a perfect time to get started with a software-defined radio. But yes, there are ways around simulcast. Simulcast is just going to be something that we have to deal with more and more as P25 networks are being deployed. And as scanner radio users and those of us that want to enjoy the hobby, we have to learn how to evolve and we have to learn how to fix these problems. And again, this is a hobby, right? And this is all part of the hobby, is tinkering and making adjustments and learning as we go. This is what makes it fun and frustrating, but hopefully mostly fun. So again, please make sure you subscribe to this podcast, whether it be on your favorite audio platform or on YouTube, because next week we are continuing with our Scanner Radio University series, and you don't want to miss that one. So again, my name is Phil Lichtenberger, and this is Scanner School, where we teach you everything to know about the scanner radio hobby. Thanks again for watching. We'll see you all again next time. 73.